by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Cairo Nights. Remember last night we had a little techno glitch? And this portion of Cairo Nights is sponsored by the National Broadcasting. I was like, oh, that's appropriate. Hey, buddy. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, doing good. How are you?
I'm fabulous. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Cairo Nights, our big Thursday show, as we make it into December. Finally here. December 1st, 2022. I just stopped writing 2021 on my checks. And now it's time. No, I don't write checks anymore. But that used to be an issue, having to write the date, and then it'd take you a month or two to get used to writing the new year. Who writes checks anymore? I don't write anything anymore. I can't tell you the last time I filled something out was in a doctor's office. It seems to me that's the only time you actually fill out paperwork anymore. Everything's done with a digital sign. You ever use the electric pen? You ever do your digital signature on something when you're signing up for a bank account or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had the story last week of Bob Dylan, who auto-signed a bunch of books and sold them as autographed, hand-autographed copies. Had to issue an apology to his fans and the folks at Simon Schuster actually issued refunds to anybody that was bugged about it. Would you spend $700 on an autographed copy of your favorite artist's memoir?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I know that you're a big
Maybe
fan of
from
music.
McCartney, Springsteen, yeah, somebody legendary.
And you never were a big sports fan guy, were you? I'm a
sports spectator. I just don't follow the players and the eras the way most people do.
Did you have a sports hero as a kid growing up?
Ah, that's a tough one. I might have, but I'm blanking on who it would be.
Gotcha. See, you probably already had your dad's love. You didn't have to try to win your dad's love by catching a ball or hitting a ball with a stick.
Oh, no.
Like many of us.
Less than a year ago, I actually was in a mood and I was talking to my dad on the phone. And I said, Dad, I will not penalize you for answering this question truthfully. I go, I was a late surprise for my parents, right?
Okay.
My sister was off to college a few months after I was born.
Wow.
So I go, Dad, did you really want a second child, or were you okay with things pretty much as they were? And he goes, well, to be honest with you, I was okay either way.
Wow. What a brave thing to ask
him, dude.
And I'm
like, I understand that. Yeah. I totally get it. But it was so funny because it was like he had reached the point where he thought he was done with all of that.
Well, yeah, of course.
And along comes young Matt.
Wonder Boy.
Yes.
Yep.
To thrill and disappoint his parents.
That is a very brave thing to ask your dad. It really is, man. And that's the first time that somebody had ever come up between you guys, huh?
Yeah. And, well, I think in the past I had kind of been down on myself and hinted at it. And he's like, no, you were very special to us, which only served to make me feel worse.
Yeah, I didn't mind selling my Corvette and my speedboat when you showed up. No, it was no problem at all.
Giving up the hunting trip.
We sold that timeshare we had in Maui. Oh, we love you. You've been great. That thing you did in the fifth grade play, you were a tree or you were a bush, you were awesome. I loved every minute of it. Okay, we got a scrapbook around here, honey? Something? Got a scrapbook? No? Oh, we made it. I thought we kept those. No, we didn't keep those. So how much older is your sister than you? You said she was off to college.
Oh, goodness. So I was like 6 months old when she left.
So she's 16, 17, 18 years older than you?
Yeah.
Wow. So because my daughters are 14 years apart, and we were done. I tell you. I mean, so you were a little bundle of surprise.
Yes.
That happens to a lot of families, man. Sometimes families are very organized and the children all happen within 5 years. They have three kids in 5 years. We were done. Got our tubes tied or the snip or whatever. Went to Dr. Snippenstein, and it's all done. We're done. Our little perfect family unit. No more surprises. No more accidents. But a lot of families just have that, thought we were done. I'm not going to make any kind of comment about broken, or mistimed natural timing rhythm methods or whatever. We had actually tried to have a second child, Melissa and I. Our first daughter, Ryan, was wonderful, and we were over the moon. And we wanted a second. And we tried a lot. We actually tried to pursue some assisted help, you know, some in vitro fertilization, in utero fertilization. We tried a lot of different methods. We tried going the once a month to the cup in the magazine's, you know, office with the doctor. You know, that's a humiliating thing to do. But when you love somebody and you want to you want to have a child, you do whatever it takes. A little bit of embarrassment in the doctor's office is nothing. It's what you do. And we tried for maybe about 2 years on a monthly basis to try to have a child with assistance from technology, you know, and didn't happen. And we just, and finally after, and this is personal, and I hope you guys don't mind me sharing it. I hope my wife doesn't mind me sharing it. It's why she doesn't listen to the show, because I do stuff like this. But you know, it would break her heart every month that it didn't happen again, you know. We'd get our hopes up and spend a nice bit of money trying to get the assistance, because that kind of stuff's not covered by, but funny that your insurance, you know, will help you not have kids, but they won't help you have kids. Funny thing.
Well, that would lead to more cost of the insurance company.
Hey, you could work for any of them now. And we gave up. You know, we resigned ourselves to, hey, we've got a wonderful kid, you know, and she's everything we could hope for, and it's enough. You know, and we'll be empty nesters. She's, you know, starting high school now. A few more years. Well, we bought Harleys. You know, we started traveling a little more. You know, we started planning for, you know, being empty nesters pretty early. And when I turned 40, my wife had a huge surprise party for me and invited all my friends from the East Coast and all the friends we have locally and family from both coasts, and threw a big 40th birthday surprise party for me. It was an amazing situation. But what she really did for my 40th was made me get a physical. And when I went to my physical, they found cancer of the reproductive accessory nature. If, like, you know, I didn't want to say the word. It begins with a T, ends with an ickle. They found cancer. And I had to go have surgery a week after I turned 40. Well, in the week between, you know, the 4 days between diagnosis and surgery, and it's literally that quick. I didn't just get a second opinion, I got a third opinion. But in that 4 days, we got pregnant, you know, and I can tell you that's when it happened, because for 8 weeks after the surgery, it was just me and a bag of frozen peas. Wasn't any other interaction.
I was going to say, that was on ice.
Yeah, exactly. The term, that's been put on ice. That must be where it comes from. Exactly. So our little, you know, our second was a little miracle, you know, a little unexpected. And it's funny, in that circumstance, you know, having the fact that we had chased that second, you know, chase the dragon, chase that second child for so long, never have to even worry about, you know, was I an accident? Did you, you know, my kid never had to ask that question that you asked your dad, you know? And so I, for me, that thought never even crossed my mind. So for you to think that and ask your dad, that's.
And it was so funny too, because I wasn't mad or upset by his answer. I was just seriously, as a person of my age, going, okay, so you were kind of my age when this happened. How did you really feel about it?
Right.
And I respected his honesty. It wasn't hurtful in any
no,
way.
No. It's when you're trying to get to know your, it's funny that time you get to know your parent as just an individual guy, you know, not in the spectrum of dad and father, son relationship, but just as two men talking about, you know, to each other about, you know, what was your life like and what was your plans? And then this showed up on your doorstep. You know, what'd that do to your plan? What'd it do to your head?
There were so many things in my life that I, you know, my father and I were actually kind of distant. Like, I didn't get him in a lot of ways. We didn't seem a lot alike when I was younger. But the older I get and the more I experience in life and look back on some of the things that he experienced, I'm like, okay. I get it now. We're more alike than I thought.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people experience that. You know, it's nature. That's the nurture side, nature and nurture, of rebellion against your parents. You know, they you know, traits tend to skip a generation, you know, in families. And that's often the you know, the punchline of a joke. You know, intelligence skips a generation. Fathers making fun of their kids or kids making fun of their parents. But it's true that kids rebel against their parents. That's just how evolution works. That's how they're able to leave the nest. You know, I remember once I was in, I may have told you this before, man, I apologize. My stories tend to get a little redundant. I was on the air one time and I was complaining about my older daughter and some of the hijinks of teenage years that all kids did. We did at my age. They did at their age. I'm not complaining about my kid on air because we did a show like we do here. That's very much our lives on air. I mean, we'll try to bring you the stories of the day and the important news of the day, of course. And, you know, when you can win Seahawk tickets, the important things, the things that matter. But, you know, we just talk about who we are and how the life we live might be relevant to yours at home. I'm on the air bitching about my kid, and somebody called up and said, Spike, you know, it's clear through the stories you've told that you truly love your daughter. And it was a very frustrating point in our father-daughter relationship. And the guy said, this is how it works, man. You know, God gives you this perfect little angel. And if he didn't turn them into the spawn of Satan, you'd never let them leave. That's how the generations go. Your kids rebel against, you know, authority and push the boundaries, and you put up guardrails and they test them like the raptors testing the fence in Jurassic Park. So my kid was modeled exactly after that. But that's the only way you're able to let them go be their own person. And they go out and they travel and they live and they experience and they fail and they rise and they, you know, learn. And eventually they come back and they're who you thought they always, you always wanted them to be. If things, not always, of course, that's when everything goes right. And everything goes right so rarely for most of us. You know, for some of us, it never goes right. Some of us always have horrible relations with our parents. You know, I've got friends who never, ever came around to the relationship with their dad. Lived their whole life not comfortable with their parents, not friends with their parents. You know, I was really lucky. I hated my stepdad growing up. I mean, you know, hated his discipline, hated his rules and his, you know, his parenting, you know, and got through it, got past it, realized not too long later in life, not too long, much longer after that, that he did everything he needed to do. He stepped up and gave me the, you know, the boundaries and the guidelines and the consequences that probably saved my life. I was filling in for Ursula one day talking to G. Scott, and G's like, the topic of spanking your kids came up. Were you spanked as a young guy?
I was.
I was too.
I'm sure it will shock you that my behavior led to that.
No, I wasn't questioning your behavior. From what I know of you, whether you deserved a spanking was not up in the air.
You can guess why it was, though, probably, knowing me.
You're up late listening to radio, past bedtime.
Not that, no. But that did get me in trouble, yeah. Though. No, it was just generally being a smartass. Mm. I loved a good cutting remark, and I would gleefully make it.
Nice. There you go. I'm working on material, Mom. Love you. Try the veal. I'm here every day, all night.
I was often told to save it for the stage.
Nice. And you have. Nice. Now you get to work in here. Perfect. You know, we're talking to G and about spanking your kids. And it was funny. Well, we're reading the text coming in because people are very split on that topic. And there's vast research that says most people in jail were spanked. Most people who spank their kids, or even when it rises to the level of domestic violence, have a history of being spanked and borderline domestic violence, sometimes full-on domestic violence in their own homes. And spanking leads to another generation of physical abusers. And those are the extreme cases. I'm not saying everybody who got spanked was physically abused. I wasn't physically abused in any way, shape, or form, but I got spanked when I needed it. And often I did need it, deserve it. It was what was keeping me in line, teaching me consequences. G had a text from his cousin listening from Chicago during the show while we're having this conversation about spanking. And his cousin, who knew G's father very, very well, G's father was in law enforcement. The cousin texted in and said, hey, man, I know your dad, and I know where we grew up and who we ran with as kids. Your dad, you know, and your uncle, my dad, probably saved our lives by spanking our bottoms and giving us, you know, boundaries and consequences for our actions. Because the friends of theirs that didn't have figures like that in their life, some of them found an early demise. And that was powerful. Your old man said, yeah, you're all right. You're a surprise, you know. Didn't get to go to Sturgis on my motorcycle, but I got you, so it's all good. Did he admit to missing out on anything, having a young son, when he wasn't planning on it?
No. Okay. No, I think by that point, I think my dad got really tired. He worked very hard. He had a kind of a rough family background that wasn't really supportive of him. And he and my mom kind of had to make it on their own as kind of the outsiders of their respective families.
Okay.
And so I think by that time, my dad was, and this is maybe where I get it, he was pretty world weary by the time he was 40.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there you go.
He was ready to, you know,
cool his jets a little bit,
smoke his pipe and be done with it.
There you go. See, and it's funny because with us, it's the same way. I was 40 when we had our youngest. You know, and we had, you know, a good 4 or 5 years where we had given up and we were ready to be, you know, that young couple with no kids, you know, send the first one off to college and hit the bars again on Thursday night. Why wait for Friday, you know? But no, it's funny, man. Parenting late is tougher. It's a young man's game. It's tough to have a new one running around the house in your 40s or later.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, by that point, I was pretty tired.
Yeah, it is.
He said, I thought I was done.
My wife said the same thing. It's a, you know, parenting is a young person's game. Hats off to folks who had kids later in their run, you know.
On the other hand, my mom thought I was an angel.
Of course. Well, you are. Your mom is the only one that really knows you. You hide stuff from your dad, you share stuff with your mom. And it's vice versa for daughters. You hide stuff from your mom and share stuff with your dad. Funny how it works, man. Anyway, I'm glad your folks forgot to use a condom that night. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad it happened. Made my day. It's Kyra Knights. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. We've got a lot of things to talk about tonight, not just parents, sex lives, Matt's or mine. So we'll be right back after these.
There are cynics, there are skeptics, there are legions of dispassionate dyspeptics who regard this time of year as a maudlin, insincere, cheesy, crass, commercial travesty of all that we all did.
When they think that, well, I can hear it, but I pity them, their lack of Christmas spirit. For in a world like ours, take it from Stephen, there are much worse things to believe in.
A redeemer and a savior and a beast man giving toys for good behavior.
The faith in what might be and the hope that we might see. The answer to all sorrow in a box beneath the tree. Find them foolish,
sentimental.
Well, you're clearly none too bright, so we'll be gentle. Don't even try to start vaguely conceiving of all the much worse things to believe in.
Who is this?
Do you not recognize them?
I do, but I can't place them.
Elvis Costello, along with Stephen Colbert from Christmas, the album.
When was this released?
Oh, this was back in, oh, goodness. Just from when I remember it, probably 2008.
Really? That's fantastic.
I remember hearing it.
Thank you. Yeah, welcome back pleasure. To Kyra Knights, everybody. I hated bringing it down. I was like, this is getting better as it goes. Oh,
well worth checking out.
Yes, it is. And by the way, folks, I want to tell you, we're going to announce tonight's Seahawks code word for a chance to win 2 tickets to see the Hawks take on the 49ers here on December 15th at Lumen Field. We'll pull 3 winners from today's entries. You can learn more at MyNorthWest.com/win. You can listen to Kyra News Radio all this week, again tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow, for one more chance to win tickets to the Seahawks game. So coming up shortly, we will give you the code word. That's how we keep you listening. The tease, called the tease there, folks. I want to play a little Christmas Twisted tune. We can do that, too, if you got one ready for me. We we in my life, in my home, are getting ready for Christmas. I mentioned to you earlier this week that we're going to kind of keep it on the down low this year. My wife lost her dad. I lost my father-in-law, a wonderful, wonderful man, around the holidays last year. So, and I know many folks this time of year have lost somebody. Because we all lose everybody. We lose everybody eventually. You know, I don't mean to make light of any of it because I know how hard it can be. And it doesn't get any easier year after year after year. You know, that when something comes up, a time of year or a memory that triggers the loss of someone dear to you, it's right back there with you. So we're kind of laying on low, but, you know, today I talked to Melissa a little bit. We're going to put up Christmas lights this weekend. You know, her very favorite aunt is flying in for the holidays from down the Southwest because she's, you know, by herself down there too. I'm going to say, hey, you know, we'll keep it low. We're not going to blow the place up like somebody in Whoville, which I often fall guilty of. I didn't bring the big inflatables out of storage, you know, or the 3-foot Christmas sculptures I like to put out in the house. Did you have trains as a kid? You're about the right age.
Oh, yes, I did.
I did too.
I loved the model trains.
Oh, my old man was an HO machine. Yeah. He loved it.
Yeah.
And there are still, is there any place in town that has a good train, Christmas train set up?
That's a good question.
You know, I know they used to have downtown, they had Santa's, you know, Santa at the Bond or Santa at Nordstrom, and they still have Santa. But you remember from A Christmas Story that, you know, when Higby's department store would get ready for Christmas and every kid in town pressed their faces, little hams against the window. I mean, department stores used to do that when I was a kid. The big department store downtown would put the Christmas train village in the window with all this year's toys in there. I mean, just like in that movie, that's how it was. And I feel for kids who don't have that right now. I wonder if anybody out there knows, give us a text. If there's somebody within the sound of our broadcast range, and I know that we're global now, you can listen to the show on podcast, by the way. Every night you can go to anytime to mynorthwest.com and find previous shows. They're there waiting for you at your convenience. But if you're listening now and you're within the broadcast range of my voice, does your town have a Christmas village train set up? Because we went through our storage unit this last month. We finally, after 17 years of owning a storage unit, went through it and got rid of it. And when I say get rid of it, we did move to a smaller storage unit.
You downsized.
We totally downsized. We cut it in half. I mean, we gave away so much stuff to Goodwill. We threw away so much stuff we no longer were attached to. And
the stuff you were like, no, even nobody at Goodwill is going to want this.
Some of the stuff, yeah. You know, some of the stuff we're just, no, it's not, no, we don't really need this. Nobody wants this, you know. But I found one train set, one HO train set from the heart. When I was, you know, doing my Harley was new and everything in my life had to have an HD on it, you know, which stood for $100, by the way. You take a sweater, put an HD on it, it's an extra $100. And I have a Harley HO train set that I could put up a little train around the bottom of the tree. But,
oh, cool.
Yeah, but when my littlest one was younger, in fact, when both the girls were younger, I would set up a Christmas train, but just one track going around. But when I was little, man, my old man went bananas. Villages, little lichen, is it called? The trees that they're made of, the bushes, right?
Yes, yes.
You know, the town square, the pond with the people on the pond zipping around metallically, you know, magnetically
underneath.
For an
extra dose, imagine that there are people out there that do the Lego winter villages with Lego trains. And
you
they
mentioned
build
that last
mountains
night. Yeah.
And snowy landscapes around, and the trains going through with the loaded with presents. It is amazing what some of these people do.
By the way, the texters tonight are really glad your parents had that little accident. Many people said you were a beautiful surprise. You know, yeah. So, do me a favor. You got the song ready. Some texters have come in. On the other side of this, we will let you know. If you would like to go take your kids to see a nice Christmas train village, I'll let you know where the texters are saying they're at. So if you would.
There's a star to the north and I'm going just as fast as
That's a guy named Don Gaynor doing
wow.
that. I know, that great.
Impressive.
Yeah, thanks. That's a Bob Rivers Twisted Christmas song right there. And by the way, there are several trains all over the place. Thank you so much, people who texted in. The Thurston County Fairgrounds have a permanent train display, and it's decorated for Christmas, as it should be. Oh, down in Scottsdale, Arizona, that's nice. They have a great train park down in Scottsdale. And in Tacoma, at the, where is it at? It's on Pacific Avenue, right at the Starbucks, right across from Starbucks. Well, right across from the Starbucks, there could be 38,000.
Yeah, those are very vague directions.
The Washington State History Museum in Tacoma on Pacific Avenue, that's where there's a train set up for the Christmas spirit time of the year there. And in the Seattle Center, of course there is. A text to let me know the Seattle Center has a Christmas train for you, Spike. Whether my kid wants to go with me or not, I'm going down to look at it. Oh, and by the way, the Seattle Center's, I think it, in the Armory, I'll make sure it's where it is, but they're doing a viewing party for this Saturday morning's World Cup game, U.S. and Netherlands. 6:30 doors, 7 o'clock game time. I think free of charge, come down to the Armory and watch. The Sounders are hosting a World Cup viewing party. And Seattle Center's the bomb. They're fantastic. We'll be right back after these. We'll give you the Seahawks code word of the day. It's Carol Knights. We'll be right back. Well, we have the best texters, Matt. We really do, man. 888-973-5476 is the number. Not only was I told about every train display in town.
Can't you hear me when I call?
Well, here it is. The Kang, baby. The Kang. A texter reminded me of the model train store in Burien. On 157, the electric train shop in Burien. My wife used to work Christmases down in Burien. I'm always from the Burien area. I married a local girl. I moved here in 89. I met my wife a few months after we got here. I came to town with the Bob Rivers Show from Baltimore. Met my bride-to-be. Fell in love. Who started dating. Fell in love. Got married. Stayed here ever since. She's a Burien girl. Went to Highline High School. Pirate. Go Pirates. And she worked at a little shop called Jorstad Jewelers every Christmas. It's where she worked when she was a high schooler. That was her kind of Christmas job in the holiday season. And I would play Santa down at Jorstad Jewelers every Christmas for about 10 years. I had about a 10-year run, strapping on the suit and the beard and playing Santa at this little jewelry. A great little, kind of that little town shop that all the locals brought their jewelry to for repairs and watches and bought their gifts there for the holiday season. But right down the street on 152nd and Burien was the electric train shop, and I'd forgotten all about it. I may have to pop down there, man. You know, I bet my wife would like to go down there and kind of revisit that little history lesson for her. They did an urban kind of revamp, a revitalization down in Burien not too long ago. Built a new library, built a new town hall, got rid of an old retail. I think it was Kohl's or something. There was a retail store down there. You know, I don't think it was Kohl's. It was different. It had a different name. Lamont's maybe, but it's gone. You know, like a Sears kind of version, smaller version, small town, you know, department store. And it, as all things in that era have done, department stores have gone the way of the dinosaur, thanks Jeff Bezos. And they did this remodel on downtown Burien, this revitalization, with these new amenities of low-income housing, which is really nice, modern, you know, 5-6-story buildings that provide plenty of housing for the new residents of our communities. Those are essential. And this little downtown area, very nice area. But that revitalization project took several years. And the Jorstad Jewelers store that my wife used to work at and I used to play Santa at, that's gone. It didn't survive the time where the road was ripped up and the sidewalks were gone. You know, there's a lot of, we hear stories all the time about people whose businesses suffer during the much needed upgrades and revitalizations of our cities. So the electric train shop is in Burien. Also, there's one, the East Side Trains, somebody texted in. Model train store over on the east side in Bellevue. Nice. Yep, a big part of Christmas. I would be remiss right now if I didn't let you know
that it's time to announce our Seahawks code word. Head to mynorthwest.com/win and enter the code word HUDDLE. That's H-U-D-D-L-E. Because I was also reminded that don't make fun of people who can't spell. HUDDLE, H-U-D-D-L-E. Text it at mynorthwest.com/win. You can win tickets to see the Hawks take on the 49ers on December 15th. Code word expires tonight at 11:59. We will draw three winners from today's entries, and we will have more chances for you tomorrow. So go to mynorthwest.com/win. Enter the word HUDDLE, and you too can be entered to win tickets to see the Hawks and Niners, a game that's going to determine who's likely determine who's in first place in the NFC West as we head down the stretch. And I wanted this texter earlier today. I thought Ursula said the word was cuddle. He says, that's okay, though. I have to say goodnight. It's time for me to pay more attention to my wife. Well done. I'm glad we could help. Cuddle's always your code word, guys. Always. It's Kyra Knights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. We'll be right back.